Welcome to the UBS Advisor Experience. This is a podcast series with advisors who have recently joined UBS from across the industry. In candid conversations, they will each share their experiences about moving to UBS, what it was like for them, what it was like for their team, and their clients. You'll get to hear firsthand about the resources and support at UBS that can help take your business to the next level. I'm your host, Emily De La Reguera. Let's get started.
Welcome to the podcast, UBS Advisor Experience. I'm your host, Emily De La Reguera, and I am so excited to welcome Patrick Schaefer to our podcast today. Patrick, I'm thrilled to be here with you. I know you and I only just recently got to know each other, but for everybody's benefit on this call, Patrick Schaefer joined us from JP Morgan Private Bank. He is both a managing director, a certified financial analyst, and he also leads our legacy multifamily group based out of Los Angeles. So Patrick, thank you for joining us today and welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with everybody today.
Great. Well, for the benefit of our listeners, do me a favor and just give us a little bit of context about yourself, the structure of your team, how many people, just so that we can glean a little bit around the structure overall.
Sure. So my team, Legacy Multifamily Group, joined UBS at the beginning of 2021 after spending about 10 years together at JP Morgan. There are currently 12 members on our team. Five of us are financial advisors. I co-run the team with my partner, Ryan Bristol. Ryan and I have been business partners together for about 13 years. And our transition from JP Morgan to UBS has been exactly what we wanted it to be. And we feel really excited about where we are today and where we're headed as a team and as a firm.
Great. I know you spent probably 10 years at JP Morgan, but you also were prior to that in JP Morgan's investment bank and you worked for two hedge funds as well, right?
Yes, that's right. And so I was a retread at JP Morgan. I started my career there out of college. So I went to Johns Hopkins and then joined JP Morgan's investment bank, where I spent about 4.5 years before leaving and working as an analyst, portfolio manager, trader, sort of multi-hat person at a couple of hedge funds for about 5 years before returning to JP Morgan in their private bank as what they call an investment specialist, which is really just a fancy way to say portfolio manager. And so I've been directly managing money either at hedge funds on the buy side or at JP Morgan Private Bank or here at UBS for probably about 17 years.
So I did not know this about you, but you and I have two things in common. One is that I'm from Baltimore and you went to Hopkins.
Okay.
So I knew I liked you when we first met.
Yes. I was actually in Maryland just on Tuesday visiting with a client.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a substantial concentration of clients in Maryland?
No, we don't. We have one, but we have a handful of clients scattered along the East Coast, Boston, New York City, New Jersey, Maryland, and Florida.
Got it. Well, that's great that you were back there. I'm actually headed back next week to visit my family. So we're just trading places from East Coast to West Coast over here. And the second thing we have in common that I did not realize is you and I are both, I think you called it a retreader. I call it a boomerang, where I started my career at UBS. I left UBS for a brief year and a half when I decided to work at BlackRock and came back to UBS. And I'm going to dig into this a little bit more with you because I want to hear about why you joined UBS. But I will say, as a boomeranger or retreader myself, having joined UBS, left and come back, I know and feel so confident anytime I get calls from recruiters, it is always such an easy decision for me to say, no, I'm so happy at UBS. And for me personally, I think what's really special about UBS is the very, very small family feel that we have within wealth management. Even though we're a huge global bank and we have all these capabilities across the world and we have the ability to service wealth management and asset management and the investment bank. And so by any perception, it feels like a very big bank. But when you're actually here, I have found in my 13 years as of yesterday being here, it is by far the best place that I could possibly be at. And I love the people more than anything else. And that's what makes this place so special for me and why I'll never leave again. But I'm curious for you, what is it about UBS that drew you over to us?
Well, first of all, congratulations on becoming a UBS teenager yesterday.
Yes.
That's really wonderful. So what we were seeking, our team, was an organization where wealth management came first. Obviously, our former firm does a lot of other things. And I would say their wealth management practice is just a smaller part of the overall organization, whereas at UBS, it's approximately 65% of our revenues. And from an advisor experience perspective, that is truly felt. You talked about being really global, but feeling small. And I think part of the reason for that is our organization is so oriented towards wealth management. When our management team is in a room talking about strategy and objectives and where they want to take the organization, it's so oriented around wealth management. And it's oriented around the U.S. wealth management practice. And for me in particular, I certainly feel the U.S. private wealth management practice is the focus of what our leadership team globally is trying to enhance. And that's really felt. And the second aspect that we were seeking is truly a client-first organization. And I would say I feel that in a number of different ways, whether it's on no-fee SMAs or around a truly open architecture investment platform, the massive resources dedicated to ultra-high net worth families, whether that's the One Bank initiative, which is, I would say, a really good example of how our organization is big and global, yet can feel very small, to the initiatives around global families and GFIW, to our family office resources. And so those areas around wealth management being central and a true client-first organization and aligning the firm's resources towards ultra-high net worth clients in the United States is what we are after. And what I mentioned earlier, we've actually found what we were seeking is specifically what I'm talking about.
Sure. You know, I just had a conversation recently with a woman up here in San Francisco who joined us, and she, very similar to you, said that two things stood out to her that far exceeded her expectations when she came to UBS. She was hopeful that we would have it, but was really blown away when she arrived. And those two things were the abundance of intellectual capital that we have at UBS, and the second being family offices. And I think a lot of firms say we can work with family offices. We have some sort of family office group. We all have intellectual capital. But give us a little bit more detail around what is it about the intellectual capital here at UBS, and what is it specifically about our family office solutions group that really is transformative for your clients and for your team?
There are a number of aspects of that. One, on the intellectual capital side, one of the really interesting things is, as our organization is dedicated towards wealth management, the research and intellectual capabilities of the organization are oriented that way, as opposed to being oriented towards covering large investment banking clients. And that's felt, whether that's with our art research or the way that Paul Donovan does economics for us. It's just more oriented towards wealthy families and wealthy individuals. And how that ties directly into family office coverage, just this week, we had a meeting with a family office who was gifting shares of a private company to children and were seeking to do so in a particular sequencing around dates, which was going to make it a little bit more challenging. When we reached out to Advanced Planning, they were able to send us a white paper on a way to do as of date valuations using something called a formula clause. And it was right there, it was ready to go in a client's inbox within 24 hours. And I think that's a really interesting way to highlight the power of intellectual capital being oriented towards family offices. And that intellectual capital, I think, is truly one of our secret weapons, in addition to some of the not so secret weapons, the way GFIW and family office solutions are oriented. I think we talk about that a lot, but we don't necessarily talk about how the intellectual capital supporting those efforts and those teams can be delivered in a way to move the ball down the field for our clients faster and have a bigger impact more quickly on the families that we're supporting.
I so appreciate you sharing that. And that's something I think, again, perception-wise, sometimes is lost when you think about a large global organization like UBS. Most people assume incorrectly that there's a lot of bureaucracy and it's very slow to get things done. And I'm not saying that UBS is perfect. Every firm on the street has opportunities to get better. But I think your point is so well said, where whether it's our partnership with the investment bank, specifically one bank, whether it's our advanced planners, whether it's research coming out of our chief investment office, we have a way of working very seamlessly and quickly within wealth management specifically to deliver that both efficiently, accurately, and seamlessly to wealthy families and clients who need, candidly, just need more complex problems and therefore need deeper levels of advice than others.
Yeah, super interesting. Around one bank as an example, I think a lot of firms talk about knocking down silos in order to deliver resources and capabilities from other lines of businesses into wealthy families. In my experience, we do that really well. And we do that really well, I think, because our investment bank is oriented in part to support PWM and the relationships that we have. My ability to get mind share from investment bankers inside of UBS is significantly higher than it was at my former firm. And that's felt. I was on a call late last month with a vice chairman from our investment bank, a couple of industry bankers, our one bank representative, and a client who owns a private business and wanted to just strategize around how to work with their private equity firm. Another example, I have a client right now who is looking at buying commercial mortgage-backed securities on office buildings. And we set up a call with our investment bank trader to walk through what that market actually looks like, given all of the office uncertainty out there right now. And is that an opportunity or is it too soon to really explore that with earnest dollars? So my ability to navigate the firm really quickly into subject matter experts, I would say is excellent. And it far exceeded my expectations.
That is so good to hear. Because realistically, when anybody joins a new firm, you're always worried about, is what I'm being sold or told in fact a reality? And it sounds like for you and your team, everything that you hoped for and were promised, it has been delivered and has exceeded your expectations.
Yes, it's working and we feel so grateful to be here.
Good. Well, I know we're grateful to have you. Your team is fantastic. And in speaking with your market director down in LA, I know she's very happy to have you on board as well. So let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the actual transition itself, because that is probably one of the hardest, maybe most stressful experiences that someone can go through. You work so hard to build a book of business, to grow that book of business, and you inevitably take on a lot of risk when you actually move to another firm and you worry about, will the clients follow me? How is the transition going to go? You have to learn new systems. There's a lot of reasons for why a transition can be difficult and stressful. How was your transition experience?
I would say ultimately it was very successful. The first handful of months, as you pointed out, are just scary. They're filled with fear. And they're filled with fear because anytime you're stepping into something that you don't know, that you don't understand, and that change that comes and is associated with that just creates uncertainty and doubt and fear. Also, I would say most people who are being recruited by UBS are doing really well at their previous organizations. And you're leaving political capital on the table. You're leaving very long-term relationships on the table. And that can be something as well. Also, you feel as though you could potentially be disrupting your clients' lives by having them move assets and execute paperwork, et cetera. And then for us specifically, moving from JP Morgan Private Bank to UBS, it's a different model. We in the industry like to call UBS, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Goldman Sachs, the wirehouse model. JP Morgan Private Bank is not. It's much more of a private banking model. And so there was that aspect of it as well. In addition, we moved in the middle of COVID in February of 2021, which I would say added just some complexity to it because it was harder to meet with people face-to-face initially and to share with them what our story was. But at the end of the day, if you're truly moving for the right reasons, clients will feel it. They will pick up on that energy. They will believe what you are doing is in their best interest, and they will move. And for us, what we were seeking is a client-first organization that has great advisor support, deep resources to help have a better impact on families. And as we told our story, it resonated and it was ultimately successful. But that first 6 months, even though people tell you how much work it is and how much stress it is, I think it's hard to really appreciate what that actually means until you're going through it.
No doubt. I'm sure there were days where the fear was overwhelming. What did you and your team do to kind of pump each other up and stay focused and stay disciplined? And what did the management team do to help support you to make sure that you were feeling, no matter how much fear you were feeling, that you were feeling all the support in the world from them?
Yeah, two aspects of that. One, our team has worked together a long time. We know each other for a long time. We trust each other. We know how to help each other. And so if you're doing it with the right people, people who you share values with, and you're joining an organization who you share values with, that part will just come very naturally. As it relates to management support, we had so much management support through the entire process. And we feel that in a number of different ways. One of the ways I would say it's felt like very, very intensely is our management team, even today, 2.5 years into our transition, checks in with us. What can they do? What do we need help with? If there's something that we need, we can give it to them. They take ownership of it and get it knocked down. If I want my local management team to come on calls, get on Zooms, get on an airplane to go meet with somebody, the answer is always yes, when. How can I help? What do you need? It's really felt. And that is something that I would say has been the biggest upside surprise, is how the channels to management, whether it's local or national, are always open. If I email John or Jason, I get a response back immediately. If I ask for time to speak with John or Jason, I get the time scheduled right away. With my local management team, I can just walk into their office at any point in time and say, hey, I need help with this. I always get it. And so the team part from the transition, I think that was easy for us because we've known each other and worked with each other for so long. And then here, the relationships with management just came very naturally. And I think that's a testament to, again, like values of the organization in supporting advisors and clients. That's what they're here to do.
That is amazing. And I will say, just for the benefit of our listeners who might not know who John or Jason are, John and Jason are the head of Wealth Management USA and the head of our private wealth business across the entire country. And so to be able to go to the second in command of the entire organization is a really special feeling. And I know firsthand up here in San Jose where I am, I just recruited an advisor over to UBS. And she said, when I asked her, what was it that really got her to take that leap of faith and join us at UBS, she echoed the same thing. It's about local management consistently giving the support, consistently being available, and consistently advocating, and the very, very senior level openness and receptivity to join her on client meetings or meet with her directly. And I think it is definitely something values-wise that we prioritize at this organization, because at the end of the day, it's all about the client. And we all have to bend over backwards and do anything and everything that we can to do what's right by the client. And then by extension, what's right for the advisor. And if we take care of the client first, everything else takes care of itself.
Absolutely. My region head, Lauren Gorshi, has a great relationship with Jason Chandler. She was his chief of staff for a while. And I think understanding how to navigate the organization well, for me, was dramatically accelerated by the thoughtfulness of having regional leadership with phenomenal connectivity to national and global leadership. And like, for example, on the global leadership, Iqbal Khan was in Los Angeles recently. And when he was here, he met with us, he met with our team individually. We took him to meet with a prospective client, and he was happy to take the time while he was in Los Angeles to meet with advisors and to meet with clients and prospective clients alike. And you know, that's great. That's really felt internally when you're sitting down with clients and providing that amount of senior leadership access. And I think it really just underscores that point about a client-first organization.
Wonderful. I love hearing that because we try so hard to show that. And so to know that it is being felt across the organization is something that I think managers across the country are very proud of. So in the interest of time, this is actually one of my favorite questions. It's my final question for you, Patrick. But for an advisor who is contemplating the move to UBS, what advice would you give them?
I think it's really important to speak to people who are at UBS. One of the things that we did, which we found really helpful, was just on LinkedIn, we went and found people who had moved from our previous organization to UBS, and we reached out and we spoke to them. And we spoke to them independently, and we spoke to people who moved to UBS from some of the other organizations that were recruiting us. And we asked what the differences were. We really sought to understand, does UBS have the capabilities, expertise, and insight to support the families that we support? And we went and we spoke to people who have made the transition, and we listened to what they had to say, and we took their pulse on it. And that really helped. And so I think if you really roll up your sleeves and diligence the opportunity set as it relates to your clients specifically, by speaking to people who have made the transition before, you'll see that for us, there was no other choice. And I think that was a really helpful part of our due diligence process.
Got it. So back to basics, essentially, is do your homework, take the time, and speak to your peers. Thankfully, this podcast is designed to do just that, is for advisors at other firms who are contemplating the move to UBS to actually hear from you, Patrick, and from other teams across the country who have joined us from other organizations, because you are so right. It is so important to do your homework, do your research, and really to talk to other advisors. It's one thing to talk to managers, but the peace of mind, I think, really comes when you hear it from your peers who are not being paid to bring you over.
Exactly. And doing it without anybody on the phone. We reached out directly, and it's so interesting. Like, everybody responded, happy to talk to you. No problem. Well, I remember being on a conversation with someone. She's like, wow, this is really smart of you guys to do this. Nobody's ever called and just done this. We found tremendous comfort in doing that. And that really helped us, I would say, shift through some of the noise that you just feel and hear when you're speaking to a number of different firms.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I'm so appreciative that I'm glad to know that the advisors at UBS were very helpful in helping you navigate that transition and making the best decision for your clients and for your team. And I am incredibly grateful that you are paying it forward to other advisors who may be looking to join us from other firms who will be able to benefit from hearing your perspective, what your transition was like, what the positives are here, and what was most meaningful and impactful to your team and to your clients. So thank you. I very much appreciate your time here on the podcast. For all those who are listening, I hope you took away a few really important nuggets from this conversation. Patrick, thank you so much for your time. It's always good to be with you, and wishing you a wonderful weekend and much continued success here at UBS.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners for joining us in this open conversation. I hope you found it helpful as you continue to explore the possibilities here at UBS. To hear more stories from advisors who have recently joined UBS, you can visit our Financial Advisor Experience Hub at www.ubs.com/advisor-recruiting. I also would encourage you to have a live consultation with advisors who have recently joined us from your current firm to answer additional questions you may have. To schedule a confidential consultation, visit our Financial Advisor Experience Hub again. That address is www.ubs.com/advisor recruiting. Have a great week. And until next time, your host, Emily.
The material presented in this podcast has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. It is intended to be educational in nature. It is not an advertisement, nor is it a solicitation or any offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy, nor should it be viewed as such by the listener. UBS AG or its affiliates and its employees are not affiliated with any third-party speakers mentioned. None of UBS or its representatives is suggesting that the recipient or any other person take a specific course of action or any action at all in response to this podcast. By accessing and listening to this podcast, the listener acknowledges and agrees with the intended purpose described here and disclaims any expectation or belief that the information constitutes investment advice or solicitation of any kind. Any financial instruments or services described in this podcast may not be eligible for sale in all jurisdictions or to certain categories of investors. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct. They differ in material ways and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy. Copyright UBS 2023, all rights reserved. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member of FINRA and SIPC.